Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the book of Acts, where we've been following the second missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas as they revisit the churches they've already planted. And now today, we'll continue to follow these travels as we pick up in Acts chapter 16, verse 4, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Now, as they went through the cities, they delivered the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. So these are the churches that they had already visited on that first journey, and they're delivering the decree that was given in Jerusalem so that all the Gentile churches would know that there was nothing to this thing about keeping the law of Moses and being circumcised. And as they're visiting the churches, they're strengthening them, and the churches are growing. God's working. Things are happening in these communities. And now there's, you know, really, as Luke does often, there's quite a long period of time that's just covered in a sentence or so. So perhaps even a year has passed as they've been on this journey here. But then in verse 6, it says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, Phrygia, Galatia, Asia, all of these different places, these were regions in the area that we know today as Turkey. But like Asia, for example, was a province. It wasn't the whole area that we would know today as Turkey. It was a part of that area. Actually, Asia would be the place where Ephesus was, or Thyatira, or Sardis, or Smyrna, or Philadelphia. Any of those churches that Jesus wrote the letters to, they were located in the province of Asia. And now what we read here is that the Holy Spirit forbid Paul to preach the word in Asia. Now, people would say, well, why would the Holy Spirit forbid anybody to preach the gospel anywhere? I mean, come on, isn't that what we're supposed to do? But you see, the Lord knows where people are at, and the Lord has a timing for everything that he's doing. Now, here's the interesting thing. The word is going to be preached in Asia. As a matter of fact, Paul is going to do it, but here's the thing. Now is not the time. Now is not the time. The timing wasn't right for that particular area for whatever reason. And this is such an important principle to understand, that there are places that have been primed, in a sense, by the Holy Spirit. And it's those places that the Holy Spirit, you know, sort of prepares in advance that he will send his servants into so they can follow up on the work that he's already been doing. And so the Lord here is directing Paul, and I believe he's directing him to the places where he's already been working in advance, and where the timing is right. The tree is ripe and the fruit is ready to pick. That's what's happening here. So it wasn't time yet to go into Asia. And just like that was the case then, there are places today as well where we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit and to timing. I am of the firm conviction that God leads people and He sends people into places. He opens doors, He closes doors, and it's all about His sovereign plan. And therefore, I disagree with the person who says, you should never pray about where you go. You should just go. Some people talk about the mission field as, you know, a place that you don't really look for a specific area. You just go wherever the need is. So you look on your globe and you maybe do some studying and you find out where's the greatest need on the planet. And the greatest need would be probably where's the most people that haven't heard the gospel. And so you pick out a place and you say, okay, the greatest need on the planet is in China. There's more than 1 billion people there and they don't have the gospel. That's where I need to go. Maybe not. Might not be time to go to China. You see, we can't determine things by our own reasoning process when it comes to this sort of thing. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So it's not a matter of Jesus said go, so just go wherever you want to go and trust that that's where God wants you to be. We can build a case right here from this particular passage that the Lord wants to direct us to a specific place. So the Holy Spirit forbids them to preach the word in Asia. After that, they came to Mysia. And this is another one of the provinces there, and they tried to go into Bithynia. Now, Bithynia was further up north at sort of the southern shore of the Black Sea, and they were trying to go there as well, but notice, but the Spirit did not permit them. So here's Paul and Silas and their team, and they're wanting to get churches planted. They're wanting to go preach the gospel, and they visited the churches that they had already planted, and now they're just saying, okay, let's go. Let's go to Asia, that'd be great. But the Lord somehow indicates no. And then they say, okay, well, let's go up to Bithynia. That's the place. And somehow the Holy Spirit indicates to them, no, that's not where I want you to go either. Now, the question arises, how did the Holy Spirit forbid them? How did He communicate this to them? And we really don't know for sure. But it could be that the Lord spoke to them prophetically. Silas was a prophet. Paul certainly had prophetic gifts. Maybe at some point, one of them just sensed the Lord moving and speaking through him that this isn't what we're to do at this time. But here it says the Holy Spirit forbid them. And so Luke understood, and they all understood in some way, that the Lord was closing the door. But not merely closing the door, He's opening a door in another area, but He has the place that He wants to send them to because a lot of it has to do with the right timing. You know, that has happened numerous times with missionaries since apostolic times. William Carey had planned to go to Polynesia. That's where he wanted to go. But yet, the Spirit forbid him and directed him to go to India. David Livingston, he tried his best to go to China. But the Holy Spirit forbid him and directed him to go instead to Africa. Judson went to India first, but then he was sort of driven into Burma, and that's where he spent most of his life, and that's where he had the greatest impact. You see, God closes doors, but when He closes a door in one direction, He will open it in another direction. Because He's going before us. He's preparing the way. He's softening up the region by His Spirit. He's working. I don't know how to explain it ultimately, but one thing I do know is that God has a means of preparing people and hearts, and He softens areas. And sometimes it has to do with prayer. Sometimes you find out later, and we'll probably find out in heaven, that there were people that fervently prayed for certain regions. Maybe they actually, you know, had lived in an area and they spent their whole life praying for it. And then they went on to be with the Lord. But yet later on, a missionary stumbles on this place and finds there's a great openness here. What's the explanation for it? Well, the explanation is these people years ago prayed and God paved the way for them then. And then you find other areas like the one place I was mentioning where, you know, evidently there hadn't been much prayer. Or maybe, you know, it just wasn't the right time. So there is a timing. God prepares the way. And we learn here from our passage that the timing was not right. Now, as I said, in Asia, churches were planted later. And there was a great work of the Spirit later. Bithynia, likewise. Peter writes to the brethren who are dispersed, and he mentions Bithynia as a place where there were churches that were located. But it wasn't the time. And perhaps there's another issue that needs to be addressed. It might not have been that Paul was the right guy for that particular task. We don't know that Paul ever did go to Bithynia. It does seem that Peter did, though. So maybe that was reserved for Peter. And those two things are things that we always have to keep into consideration. Timing and the right person. A lot of times the explanation for what's happening in a place where you see a great work of God is simply somebody's in the right place at the right time. And they happen to be the right person for that moment. Now, they pass through Mysia and they come down now to Troas. And Troas is there on the Aegean Sea. And there in Troas, it says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. So they're in Troas, and I would imagine they're wondering, Lord, what is going on? You haven't opened the door for us to go into Asia. You've blocked us from going to Bithynia. Here we are in Troas. What do we do? Where do we go from here? I would imagine that they were seeking the Lord, that they were really asking God to give them direction at this point. And so a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now here's the interesting thing. It seems that Macedonia was never even part of Paul's consideration. You see, in effect, what is going to happen now is that the gospel is going to move from Asia into Europe. Now, at the time, you didn't have those distinctions because it was all part of the Roman Empire. But to cross the Aegean over to this other region, which in effect, you know, today is to go from one continent to another, that was what God had in mind, but for whatever reason, Paul doesn't seem to have thought of taking the gospel over into that area. Now, perhaps it was because he was unfamiliar with that area. He would have been somewhat familiar with the whole region that he had been ministering in because he was a citizen of Cilicia, and that was part of the whole area there. And, of course, he had spent much of his life in Jerusalem as well. So he's in a region that he is familiar with. He's comfortable with it. But yet when you cross the Aegean over into Greece and into that area over there, in a sense, it's a whole other world over there. And so it could be that it was just something that they had never thought about, actually going in that direction. But the Lord was working. The Lord was moving. And the Lord was wanting to, I think, show Paul that this message was to go around the world. It wasn't to be limited. He already knew it wasn't to be limited to Jew. It was a message for Gentiles as well. But now he's learning that it's not to be limited to this region here of Asia Minor. God is wanting to bring him across now into what we know today as Europe. It's interesting when you think of that because, of course, Europe became the first Christian continent, in the sense that Christianity had a large impact on the continent of Europe and had a great influence over the culture. Doesn't mean that every person in Europe was a Christian. It just means that there was this influence upon the continent and, you know, really in many ways became sort of the base of operation for Christianity for a long period of time. And up until recent times, it was more or less the center of the efforts to get the gospel out into the rest of the world. From Europe, the gospel went to Africa, to Asia, to North America, to Latin America. It all happened in Europe. Now, here we are again to a place where Europe now has become a mission field. And the continent that was exporting the gospel now, for the most part, is just completely disconnected from that history. And that influence that was so strong there is no longer there. And we're finding now that the Lord is leading us back there in a mission effort. So that's what's happening here. It's a man from Macedonia, and he's pleading in the vision. He's saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, notice in verse 10, notice the we there. Evidently, Luke joined Paul in Troas, because for the first time in Acts, it is now being written by a person who's part of the adventure. Prior to this, Luke is writing as a historian, and now from this point on, he's writing, of course, he's writing the history, but he's part of it. He's telling the story that he's involved in. So here we find it must have been in Troas that Luke and Paul met, and Luke began to travel with him. But notice what it says in the latter part of verse 10, that they concluded that the Lord was calling them to preach the gospel in Macedonia. So they're confused. They're wondering where to go. It seems that God's just closing doors all around. And then Paul has this vision. And he probably came to the group and said, you know, I saw this man of Macedonia. He was saying, come over and help us. And they probably began to talk about it. And then they began to pray about it. And then they looked at each other and thought, it must be the Lord. Let's go. Let's take a step of faith. Let's go do it. You know, it's interesting that the Lord doesn't always give us, you know, just a crystal clear calling. You know, it wasn't the Lord who appeared to Paul and said, Paul, I want you to go to Macedonia. Rather, it was a Macedonian man saying, come over and help us. Now, Paul could have, you know, thought and maybe did think that, you know, what was that all about? Maybe I was just imagining something. The Lord didn't appear to Paul and say, I sent that Macedonian man in a vision to you. Now go. But there was an element where Paul, along with the others, they got together and they shared this vision. And notice, they concluded after, I think, discussion, after prayer, after considering the matter, they drew the conclusion, you know, the Lord is leading us to go to Macedonia. That's what we believe. And we're going to take a step of faith. A lot of times people are waiting for God to call them on the telephone and say, look, this is what I want you to do. Or to appear to you at night at the foot of your bed and say, listen, my son, this is my plan for your life. It's not going to happen that way. The Lord gives us an understanding of his will, but he doesn't do it in such a way that it eliminates the need for faith. We have to take steps of faith. And so what I've found in my life is God will give me, like, you know, an 80 to maybe 95% certainty, just in my own spirit and through circumstances, that this is what I'm supposed to do. But I have to take a step of faith. I have to just say, okay, Lord, I believe that this is what you're calling me to do. And yet I'm going to take this step and trust you that you're going to take care of it, that I am hearing you right. And that's something that I believe God requires of all of us. We all have to take steps of faith. We all have to live by faith. And I think sometimes living in the instant culture that we live in, where, you know, we want everything just like that, we want everything instantly. And even as Christians in our relationship with God, okay, God, I want to know now. Right now, Lord, tell me, what am I supposed to do? Rather than realizing that God reveals things in a process of time and we must seek him. And I think sometimes we're looking for the Lord to just, you know, almost like a genie, just snap his fingers and it's all going to materialize and we're going to know everything and we're not going to have to take steps of faith or anything like that. That's not the way God works. God reveals things to us, sometimes slowly, sometimes through much persevering in prayer, and then he doesn't even reveal the whole thing. He reveals part of it. And then he says, okay, now I want you to trust me and believe me, and I want you to take a step. And people are like, what? What do you mean a step? Faith? What do I have to have faith for? Come on, God, you just do it all. But it doesn't, that's not the way it works. There has to be that trust. There has to be that step. So here they concluded that the Lord was calling them to preach the gospel. They were right. But they had to trust that that was the right conclusion they were drawing and take the step based on that. And so they set sail from Troas and they ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day they came to Neapolis, and from there they went to Philippi, the foremost city of Macedonia. And that's where the work of God will begin on the European continent, in this place in Philippi. But you know, here's an interesting thought to close with. They were in Troas. Troas was actually called Alexandrian Troas. They were going over into Macedonia, Philippi. Philippi was named after Philip of Macedon, who was the father of Alexander the Great. They would also go and minister in Thessalonica. Thessalonica was named after the sister of Alexander. And here's a thought that might have some validity to it. Alexander had conquered the world. And here's Paul. He's in Asia. He's seeking to, you know, go from place to place in Asia. He's covered a lot of ground already. And perhaps Paul, at this point, lacked a worldwide vision. Perhaps at this point, Paul did not realize the extent of what the Lord wanted to do through him. But here he is, he's in Troas, Alexandrian Troas. Across the Aegean is Philippi, Thessalonica, all of these places. Greece, of course, the center of a world empire because of what Alexander had done. Perhaps it was there that the Lord began to really stir up Paul and say, Paul, you need to understand, I want this to go around the world. And you never know, maybe all of those things put together in Paul's mind were speaking to him that, you know, this, God wants to take this all around the world. And we need to step across this continent onto the next one and take it there. By faith, we need to go. And I would imagine that Paul, when it suddenly sort of struck him that God wanted to do more than he might have even imagined, and that it was time to cross over and to go into this whole new region, untapped completely, that his heart leapt for joy. And they went across in faith, just believing that the Lord was going to do something in Macedonia because of this vision. The funny thing is, as you get to the whole thing, you find that, you know, Paul's first encounter with a person in that region was not with a man who was saying, come over and help us. It was with a woman who became the first convert on that continent. And so we'll pick up with the exciting story of the planting of the church in Philippi in verse 11 when we continue here with Acts.
We'll continue with more of our study of the Acts of the Apostles in our next lesson as we stumble upon an unexpected ministry. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Led by the Spirit. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3127. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.